Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
If there's a woman, most of the women in her 40s, like how would she actively or proactively go searching for a husband? At that point, like...
At that point, what?
What? Can we rant a little bit, guys? Okay, we've already started. Wait, why is it not centered anymore? See, now that was turned towards me a little bit.
That's okay. Like, I'm still in frame.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you can just crop it.
How if you're the one who'd be out of focus this time? It'll bring us back to our old days.
Can you guys see me?
Hopefully she's in focus. We'll see. I guess we'll find out after this, right? I'm looking.
Are you that paranoid?
Yeah. Can I rant for a little bit? Because, okay, it's not a rant. You know what? We're privileged to live in a land where we have access to water, electricity, and freedom anytime we need to. Well, freedom to a degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a house that's, you know, alhamdulillah, my parents have let me live in, you know. Inshallah, soon enough, I will be moving out. And we'll get to that because that's, you know, hopefully sooner than later. But the city might be saying different. But one thing my parents have been almost have a phobia of to this day.
Yeah.
Is the controls to the AC. guys, I knew this was coming. I came into this house. I'm going to speak in Celsius here, you know, for all my Celsius. I came into this house. Guess how hot it was. It was 28 degrees Celsius in this house.
That's actually crazy.
28 degrees. Typically, we try and keep our house at around 23. Room temperature, I believe, is 24. Like, you think, oh, it's not that much. But isn't room temperature not 24 degrees Celsius?
I hike it all the way down to 21.
Yo, my parents, they would abandon you. They would disown you if you put it at that level.
If my feet don't curl up because of how cold the floor is, I ain't having it.
I wish, you know, I had that privilege.
You will soon enough.
Huh? I know, right? Inshallah. But I guess it depends on where you live, right? But
true.
Yeah, when I came into this house, and I almost forgot that we were recording today. So I was like, you know what? I'm used to this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to thug it out for the night.
Yeah.
But then I remember we have to record.
Yeah.
And I already, because everybody knows, you know, I go on my walk. Coming back with that again. And so I immediately, when I got home, I stepped out of the house to go on a walk.
Mm.
Also, bad idea because I was wearing full on like the thickest pair of jeans I own.
You went on a walk with jeans?
Yeah, jeans a thick dark t-shirt.
Oh,
worst idea ever. Half the distance there, I was already drenched in sweat.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, I had like that epiphany, like, like a Raven moment or something. And I called my dad immediately. I was like, turn on the AC right now, please. We cannot record this. The camera will overheat if we do not at least turn on the AC. We will overheat if we do not turn on the AC. Like, you've seen, guys, I don't know if I've shown this. But, like, there are times where we'll finish the podcast and I'll get up and it's like peeling like a sticker off of a page. My whole back is completely wet half the time I finish these podcasts.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hopefully the crisis averted. Now it's cooled down. We've kind of waited a bit for it to cool down. I can feel the AC blowing in this room. Mm-hmm. It's thankfully a smaller room, too. So, we don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, the AC wars, you know, inshallah, they have to deal with that now.
You know what, though?
Even though we're probably going to continue recording here.
This is going to forever be our studio until we one day, inshallah, expand. But I totally get that. And you know what? The war is with my mom. My dad, he kind of just like lets me put it to whatever temperature. Yeah. Occasionally, he'll be like, all right, Sada, like it's a little too cold in here now. But my mother, unless it's like 23, 24 degrees in the house, which is like our winter weather. Yeah. Like our winter temperature is 23, 24.
Yeah.
But like, I literally, I know the sec, like if I open my front door and I don't feel a gust of cold air.
Oh my, it's the worst feeling.
It's like I get enraged. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why is it so hot in the house? Mm-hmm. Like it was already hot outside. The last thing I need is for it to be hot in the house. And because I don't know what it is about like Toronto homes. Maybe it's like the older homes where it's just generally hotter in the.
Well,
in
it's
the,
because we're, our houses are more insulated, right?
Because is that why it's hotter upstairs? Yeah.
Oh, upstairs in general? Well, yeah. That's just general, like, heat, how heat works. Heat rises, right?
I know, but, like, for me, like, I'm the type of person, if my room does not feel like a freezer, mm-hmm. I can't sleep.
See, and that's the issue, which is something we're both kind of dealing with, is that because of the fact that heat rises, if it's, like, 22, 23 degrees downstairs, it could be 25, 26, 27 upstairs.
Right.
So if you're upstairs most of the time and they're downstairs, for them, they're going to say that it's cool in the house.
Yeah.
While for you, it's going to say, you're going to say it's still hot.
That's exactly my scenario.
And that's exactly what's happening in this house because in his house is kind of worse because they stay in the basement.
Right.
And the basement is like significantly cooler because it's also insulated from the cool dirt. Mm. Like that just surrounds the house, the foundation, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it naturally, even without the AC on, it could be like 21 degrees down there without any heat, without anything.
Yeah,
cooling or AC. I mean,
it's pretty bad. But I also like I sleep with a fan personally.
Mm-hmm. Do you sleep with a fan?
Yeah, like blowing directly on
in your. I heard that's not a good thing, actually.
Why not?
Having a fan blowing in your face apparently is like there's a certain disease that's related to that. Let me search that up real quick.
It doesn't blow directly,
but like it creates something.
It doesn't blow directly in my face.
Is it cold?
No, it's a fan. It's not an AC.
Oh yeah, I guess so. But let me see. Fan blowing in face while sleeping.
Hear me out for a second.
Yeah, go
because
ahead.
Because I feel like I've mastered the art of climate control when you don't have much control over your climate. Mm-hmm. It's like, so my fan, oscillating fan? So mm-hmm. It's a tower fan. So it just like rotates like that.
The classic.
It's the best. Best $50 I ever spent on on Amazon. But I have it like towards the foot of my bed. Mm-hmm. So what I do is like you stick one foot out of the blanket. Yeah. Because mind you, I still sleep with a duvet.
You sleep in it? When the summer hits, I do not get under those sheets. I rarely get under the sheets.
No, I can't sleep with like nothing. And I just can't. So I have a summer duvet. So it's very thin. But like one leg out and one leg in. Climate control.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure y'all
for
can relate.
For me, it's the opposite. My whole body out, one foot in.
That's a little protection you need from the monsters. I already know. We have the same thought process.
It's a little bit of comfort, you know.
I get it. I totally get it.
But yeah, I feel like, you know, we all deal with the heat in our own way. I'm already sweating right now.
Yeah,
and it's cool in this room, too. That's the thing.
Can I tell you, as a glasses wearer, like when you wear glasses, I feel like the humidity gets like trapped in this little space. So like anytime that I get hot, I start sweating under my eyes. Like, have you ever imagined? Never mind. You already are sweating under your eyes.
I'm literally rubbing the sweat off my head.
I was gonna say, have you ever imagined sweating under your eyes? I can see the sweat beads.
Guys, it's hereditary, okay? It runs in the family. Literally, like
literally, it's actually in our genes for us to sweat like this.
And actually, just to answer my thing I was saying earlier, circulating air from a fan can dry out your mouth, nose, and throat. This could lead to an overproduction of mucus, which may cause headaches, a stuffy nose, sore throat, or even snoring.
Snoring I don't do, but I understand. Like, I wake up feeling, like, parched. Yeah. I feel like I was walking in the Sahara Desert for 48 hours.
Might be the fan.
Yeah, but it's either that or I sweat to death, so.
I guess so, you know, get away your options, I guess.
Yeah.
I'd rather just sleep on top of the sheets and, like, you know, naturally let my body, like, just release the heat.
Well, you know, there's always, like, ads on Instagram or whatever that say, like, cooling sheets. And I'm like, is that a gimmick or is that real?
I think it does. It makes like a 2 degrees difference or something like that. I think someone did like a video on it.
I can't remember. Look it up.
Yeah, look it up. I know there are cooling beds, and that's like a thing in like certain countries where it just naturally gets like really hot.
I think the mattress that I have is cooling, but I also got like a mattress.
No, like active cooling.
What do you mean?
Like you plug it in and it cools down.
That's too much.
Yeah, but those I think those are for like extreme climates. Like we're in a like okay climate. And I didn't know this.
What?
I was speaking to, so for my job, I speak to technicians who are like in across Canada and America.
Mm.
And I was speaking to a technician who, you know, first off, okay, caveat, technicians do exaggerate a bit. But he said he once worked outside. This is in Alberta.
Mm.
He said it got up to 52 degrees Celsius. 52 degrees Celsius.
Listen, I've been to Alberta in the summertime mm-hmm. and a lot of their homes actually don't have AC.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because they don't really need it. Like some of them have AC.
Now they do.
Yeah, I feel like now they but do. Like I think one of the Airbnbs that we had,
mm-hmm.
the bedrooms didn't have, they don't have central AC. They have like, you know, those like ceiling or wall yeah. mounted ones. That's all they have. And they had it in the living room. So we all had to sleep with the bedrooms wide open just so that some air could circulate. And
there's
I was like,
no way that thing was feeding like the whole house.
Well, it was like it was a bungalow. So it yeah. kind of like it was a smaller house.
Mm.
But I just remember being like, oh my God, it's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd rather sleep in the living room, which I think one of the nights when we were like, let's have a movie night. And we yeah. all just like collectively slept on the couch.
Yeah.
With all the lights on and everything. And I was like, guys, get up. We gotta go to sleep. But yeah, they don't have, I can believe it being really hot and humid.
Mm-hmm.
But 52 degrees in Alberta is crazy. That's
well,
not true.
Well, he was working outside. He said like far out in the fields or something like that. But
maybe,
you know, I even when I was talking to him, I was like, oh yeah, totally, you know, 52 degrees, you know, but it probably was like 42 degrees. But you know, that's the thing, technicians love to exaggerate about
even
like
42.
How difficult the work they're doing is. It's like a common joke with like just construction workers and people who work outside in general.
Mm.
So like even I've done it probably at some point, maybe not realizing it.
Yeah.
So you know, I kind of gave him some blood. I was like, you know what? You're already outside. You're in the heat. I'm not going to call you out for that. But I'm sure it was really hot that day. But it does get really hot in Alberta and it gets super cold. Like they
yeah.
have extremes.
Yeah, yeah.
They rarely have like a good in between.
I think they have it for like 2 weeks in September yeah. before it starts snowing.
Literally. I'm sorry for y'all out
so
there,
bad
man.
For them.
Yeah, they really tried to get us out there too for a minute.
Yeah, it almost worked. Listen, remember our COVID episodes? Mm-hmm. We always talked about mm-hmm. moving to Alberta. Almost
sorry, you know,
it
just ain't happening. Speaking of moving.
Speaking of moving.
Yo, this city does not want me to stay here. Okay.
You this guys, city, Amir is stressed with a capital T.
Like, to the point where it's affecting my sleep. It's affecting my, like, my mood, how I can, like, my thought process. Like, I'm constantly thinking about, I finally understand what Nabat was going through.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna be like, oh, this guy, you know, she's gonna be cheering for this. But like, because last year Nabat was going through the same thing where she, for like 3 months or multiple months, she was looking for a place and just putting in offers, getting denied, getting rejected. And this is specifically for finding like a condo, right?
Because mm-hmm.
I want to find a condo where you basically have good amenities, and you also have the difference between a condo and apartment is that like your apartments don't have as many amenities.
Yeah.
And they also don't have their own like washer and dryer. You can find them, but they're usually just equivalent. The price is usually equivalent to like a condo at that point, right? So like, you know, I was doing my search and then I found out, like, I think I kind of already knew this, but like condo owners can deny you for any reason at all. And it hurts most because there's one place. So after doing a lot of searching, you know, I was pretty confident. When Nabat went through all that last year and then I was about to go through, I was like, you know what? I'm confident. I feel like, you know, we have the freedom to, like, make the right choice and, like, you know, find a nice place. I can find things day of and, like, go there next day and I can put in offers right away, that kind of stuff. And we found this spot that was really nice. Like, me and Hanan loved it, right?
Yeah.
We were already imagining, like, what we can do with it. Like,
yeah.
where we put our plants, you know, furniture, all that. And literally, 20 minutes. I mean, sorry. 20 minutes before we put in our offer,
mm-hmm.
we found out that someone else put in an offer. And I was like, oh, I was devastated. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess we're late, right?
Yeah.
But I found out that's not how it works. They can still, it doesn't matter what time it is. Or what
time the offer came in,
they can just choose it depending on like whether any criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It could be whatever, right? And still, a day later or whatever, we find out we were rejected. Super devastated. We hated it. We were like, no, we needed time to grieve for the place. And the thing is,
yeah,
I'm like still searching for apartments and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. This place is still on the market.
Still?
Which means that they denied not only us, but they denied the other people.
Do you ever want to pull up on them and be like, what did I do wrong?
For real, though. Unfortunately, the place is empty. Well, it's not empty, actually. There is a family there, but they're not the owners of it originally, right?
Oh.
And the thing is, we thought we had a chance because the owners were, like, Turkish. We were like, oh, you know, maybe, you know, but Muslims or whatever. But they might be, like, you know, those other Turkish. You know what I'm talking, about, right? I don't know if that should get me in trouble. But, yeah, when that happened, we were devastated. And, like, but it was a good, like, first experience of being, like,
yeah,
you know,
rejected,
being rejected, but not only being rejected, but being rejected for a spot you really like,
mm-hmm.
because then like the other ones aren't gonna be as hard. We thought, right?
You have to just like play it cool, you know. You can't fall in love with a place. Like, think of it like your first relationship. You can't be head over heels from the jump, you know. You gotta,
but like,
just,
you know, we're new to this. It's my first time moving out.
I know. Okay? I know.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, but Hanan should
know. Hanan has more experience, yeah. But like she's also going to a new place.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. No, so I get that. I get that.
She, because in other cities, it's not as competitive, right? So usually when you find a spot, you're more likely to get it.
Yeah.
For the most part, but Toronto is ruthless when it comes to the market, and because of like recent law changes in the law when it came to who the laws support more.
Yeah.
Now it's like supports the renters a little bit more. So landlords are a lot more picky with who they allow into their place, basically, right?
Yeah.
And we really found that out with this next spot. So first off, we find this spot and it was almost even better than what we initially fell in love with, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to be a lot more guarded this time. I was like, you know what? Let's not like put all of our like hopes and prayers into this one spot. Let's be more realistic this time.
Mm-hmm.
She's still planning out a little bit, you know, about his and stuff like that. Sorry, Hannah, I'm not calling you. I'm just saying.
she's not even here to defend herself.
I know, right? but we immediately, I was like, when I saw the spot, I already knew that this was going to be a good spot.
Yeah.
And immediately when I got there, I saw the area it was in. I was like, I know I'm going to put an offer here. We were just walking in there because you kind of have to look at an apartment.
Yeah, like do a walkthrough.
You have to do a walkthrough, or then they're going to think it's weird. They're going to think you don't care, and they're not going to allow you to at least even put in. They'll let you put in an offer, but it's less likely or more likely to get rejected.
Yeah.
So we look into the place. I was like, I love it. Let's put an offer right away. That night, we put in an offer, and we never heard anything for a bit. That morning, the realtor's like, there's actually another offer already on the place.
Dang.
But this landlord was a little different in that they wanted to interview us, right? They're like, yo, we're gonna play this out, you know?
Yeah.
They probably felt like the prizes at this point. They were gonna be like, you know what? Fight for it, you know? Show us why you really want this place, basically, right? They're like, how much are you willing to pay? So, you know, they're like asking for more money.
Mm-hmm.
And we really like this place, right? So we were willing to like, you know, negotiate with them. And they put up an interview, like an in-person interview with them. I'm pulling up to the interview. This is in the middle of opposite side of the city of where the original place is. Like, you think if they have an interview, it would be in the same place. Yeah. Opposite side of the city.
That's weird.
Like, an hour out of the way. I was like, you know what? We really want this place. We'll do it. You go for the interview. 20 minutes before this interview starts, I get a message from my realtor saying they got into a crash.
I hope they're okay.
Exactly. And that's my first thought. I was like, I hope they're okay. Like, nothing bad. And it sucked because these people, these landlords were coming into the country because they actually left the country. They went to America because last minute, I guess his job told him you have to go to our office or relocate or whatever.
Yeah.
So they actually were thinking of holding on to this place and like living here.
Yeah.
But they had no choice but to move it. So right. That's why they're being a little bit more protective on it. Right.
Yeah.
So it made sense. Right. And we still went to the place and I was like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, are we going to reschedule? Mm-hmm. They're like, our agent is there. You can interview with the agent. I was like, okay, bet. That's blessed. I'll still interview with the agent, you know, and they can make your decision from there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as we're speaking to the agent, he's like, yeah, so this is not the actual interview.
So what's like, the point?
We were there for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't make the final decision or whatever, you know. I'm going to first find out if they're okay. Because at this point, we were kind of trying to figure out if they're okay. We kind of knew they were at least not hurt physically.
Yeah.
We didn't know what the situation was with the vehicle.
Mm.
And then they're like, you know, after the meeting, they're like, okay, we're going to message you tonight and hopefully call you either tonight or in the morning. And we never heard anything after that.
Nothing?
So we assumed, yeah. And we assumed, okay, they rejected us again, right?
Yeah.
And the awkward thing is that when we got to the interview initially, we saw the other couple. And when we saw the other couple, already my heart was kind of like wavering because of the demographic that these couples were part of. I'm not going to say exactly who.
I mean, I know the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I get
you. So, you know, I already knew our chances were kind of like slim at this point, right? But then when we didn't get the call back, I at that point, I was like, okay, because we lost it.
Yeah.
And the next morning, we finally get a message saying, you know what? We have an interview ready for you guys, like midday. We're going to just WhatsApp call you guys, do the interview.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, so there's still a chance, right?
Yeah.
You know that meme? There's still a chance. So we get a little bit more excited. At this point, they're playing with our hearts.
Yeah.
Because we really wanted this place.
Right.
And then we do the interview, and I thought myself, the interview went great. You know, I threw on my charm. Everybody knows my charm. You know,
did you make them laugh?
I made them laugh.
Okay, good.
You know.
Not too much, though. Just a little bit. Because you don't want to seem goofy and irresponsible.
No. Like, I was making them laugh in a responsible manner, okay?
Okay.
But I did kind of go a little too far talking about, like, because their background, they had a background that was similar to ours. So I was trying to relate their background to ours by talking about history. And I was told that might have been going a little bit too far. Like, you were kind of, like, licking boots a little too hard. Looking at Boosla's door.
What do they call it? Brown nosing?
Yeah, brown nosing. So that was maybe the only thing that I might have gone too far on. But all in all, I thought we did well.
Okay.
And that was yesterday.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to hear almost immediately from them. Heard nothing.
Even till now.
Oh. And apparently, like, they're given 24 to 48 hours to reply.
Okay, so then.
But at this point, I think we can call it. So I immediately just started looking.
Never say never.
Nah,
never say never.
Huh?
You never know.
We have to let it go. Yeah, we have to learn to let go. I've already booked other spots to go to. Okay.
Amir said, I am wasting no time. Yeah.
So that's just your window into the market currently in Toronto and why we've talked so much ish about it in the past. Because it's not only that it's expensive, but it's hard to even find places because the reason that it's so competitive is because the house prices and the condo prices are so high that people literally can't afford to buy them. So they have no choice but to start renting or leasing, right?
Right.
So now you have the people who are potential buyers who have a lot of money, who have income, but it's just not enough to buy a place.
Yeah.
So those are people who, you know, they're still high value people. They have a lot of money in the bank. They're most likely going to be older and more responsible because people who have money to buy a place, or at least would have had money to buy a place, are usually a little bit older too. And we're kind of in that realm at this point. You know, we're a little bit older too, but, you know, it's hard to beat those the people who have a couple years on us. So
it's the older millennials. Yeah, they got a head start.
They got
a
little bit of a head start on us.
While we were still in the womb, they were out here, you know, mm-hmm. saving for their down payment.
For real.
Damn it.
Someone showed me a meme today. They're like, me as a 1 year old wishing that I started investing.
I already know because I got the same meme. I literally got the same meme from him.
Oh my god, I'm sweating already, man.
Do you want some cold water? I feel like it's your hot coffee that's doing this to you. Here.
I drank like one sip of that. Hey, let me take a little bit of water.
I feel like this will help you.
How do I spill it on like the mixer?
I would cry. See, wasn't that refreshing? You're supposed to go at the end.
Okay.
So wait, does this mean that there's a chance that you may or may not move to Texas? I can't ever.
It has been leaning towards it, but still, like with all the uncertainty. Speaking of the uncertainty in America. There's been a lot happening in America in the past.
Can I just say
what?
Former President Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. He actually did the one thing that he did well in his presidency.
Yeah.
Was step down. I think he knew, or maybe he was forced to step down. I'm not sure, but it was reaching a point where people were no longer taking him seriously, especially given some of the events that took place in mm-hmm. the last couple of weeks. So I applaud him for.
Don't be
stepping down.
What does it matter to us?
Because whatever America does impacts Canada.
Yeah, but no, when he steps down as the Democratic leader.
Yes.
But he's still the president. Oh. Yeah. Did you think he stepped down as president?
Well, no, I knew that he wasn't going to run again.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to run again.
Yeah, he's still president until the next election.
Yeah, but it's the whole thing, like, same-ish, like, different.
I know, they're all the same.
What's that saying in same-ish, different story?
Different day.
Different day, yeah. Yeah. Like, right now they're putting Kamala Harris in his seat.
I don't know much about her to know whether or not she's, like, a good person or not.
Well, if she was backing Biden, she was his vice president, you can assume that all of his takes kind of, like,
but did she have a choice?
What?
Did she have a choice?
I'm sure this was in the talks for a minute. I think she kind of knew that this might be a position she'll have to hold or have to take on, right?
But I feel like she's going to be so celebrated as the first woman.
Well, why
president.
Are you assuming that she's going to win? I still if think she that. Was I, to feel, win. I still think the other guy's going to win for sure.
Yeah, I do too. But she may have a pull on like the younger generation.
Why?
I feel like Trump has a pull on like middle America and like the older generation. Mm-hmm. But she has. It's sort of like the same phenomenon that Obama had. Like Obama kind of came with this progressive mindset, you know?
No, like the reason that Obama was so popular is because he promised change, right?
Yeah, a progressive mindset. Like it was no longer this like we're gonna just stick in the ways that we were. Like I'm gonna, mm-hmm. you know, he had all these like new plans and like Obamacare and
yeah, but I don't think she's gonna be coming. She's gonna be pushing the status quo for the most part.
Possibly, but I feel like she has a little bit of a pull with like celebrities and like influential.
Does she?
I think so, a little bit.
Is it just because she's a POC or person of color?
That's what I'm thinking, and so that's why I'm like,
I don't
that
think
that could be
so,
her man. Angle. I don't know.
Like, okay, maybe for the simple voters, like people who just look at
like face value stuff,
face value, or they look at the person themselves, be like, oh, you know, I see myself in that person, but they don't really care about their policies.
Yeah,
that could be it. But already, I feel like the young voters are so disenfranchised with politics in general because, especially a lot of young voters who were involved with like. You know, the pro-Palestinian movement.
Yeah.
I feel like they've already lost that audience for the most part. She was backing Biden, so you can assume that all his takes when it came to Palestine True. Are the same. So I don't think there's going to be any change in her policies. Or like, first off, she only has, like, what, 3 months to come out with a game plan or some type of, like,
you don't think that that's been like they've been working on that behind the scenes? I'm sure she's going to come out with her campaign like very shortly.
But why would her campaign be any different from his? If she was already the vice president, which means that when he was campaigning, she's campaigning as well on his same policies and same ideas or same policies, essentially.
Her angle could potentially be like trying to separate herself from Joe's like Biden's like presidency. Mm-hmm. That could be her angle. that could be what helps her win, especially if she tries to like play on the faults of Trump, for example.
First off, I don't even think people are saying this. I don't think Trump is going to be addressing her at all. Like, you know how they have debates and stuff?
Yeah, you think he's just going to disregard her?
I don't think he's going to even accept any debates with her at this point, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. He would do something like that.
Yeah, because, like, what's his incentive? He already has a lead for the most part in all the polls. Mm. I know polls, they're saying, like, polls don't really mean much. Mm-hmm. But, and also with the other thing that happened, which we can talk about after, that probably helped him a big time in, like, because the moment you try to make a martyr out of someone, you only really, like, amplify their cause or you amplify their movement.
Yeah. Yeah, he can definitely play up the victim role right now.
What?
I said he can definitely play up the victim role.
And he definitely has.
Yeah, I know. And all the memes saying, like, he's going to show up to the next debate or the next, like, rally.
He's already come out on the next rally, and he didn't do that, unfortunately.
Oh, I was waiting for that moment.
Yeah, I think, he's not really in tune with the Black Twitter space when it came to that, so I don't think he would have.
Honestly, if he did do that, I feel like he would have gained all of their votes just because of how comical mm-hmm. that would have been. But then on the contrary, mm-hmm. I'm not even paying attention too much to American politics, but it really does seem like a joke to me.
Because it has become a joke. I think the thing that like tipped the scales to me where I'm like, this is essentially Idiocracy. You know Idiocracy, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's been referenced so much recently. Everyone should just watch Idiocracy at this point.
You're referencing an actual show?
A movie.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I thought you meant like the word Idiocracy. Well,
there was a video that recently came out. I think it was at the RNC, which is like the Republican National Convention, where they're basically like bigging up Trump the whole time. Mm-hmm. And at one point they brought out Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God.
And Hulk Hogan did this like whole speech, like just like, like licking his boots, basically brown nosing him, like you mentioned earlier.
Did he call him brother?
He's mentioned said brother a couple times. I can't do his thing.
Sounds just like.
And him. Of course, like what to like the climax of his speech, he like rips his shirt open.
Oh my God! Here we go.
And like it has like a Trump, you know, the Trump shirt, all the memorabilia, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And someone put like a side by side. You know, on TikTok, you have like the video on top and bottom. Of a scene from Idiocracy where it's almost 1-to-1. The only difference is that the guy who's either they're representing as Hulk Hogan is like Terry Crews, but still same thing, you know, cut off t-shirt, mm-hmm. like muscle arms,
yeah,
like talking about, you know, America and like, you know, and literally even the talking points that Terry Crews is saying in that movie, mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan was essentially saying it, like he's going to fix everything. He's going to make America great again. All these same points. Right. And like, even if you are a supporter of Trump, like even you can see the ridiculousness of all of this. Right. Like,
yeah,
I don't think anyone can deny how ridiculous this is all kind of getting. And how comical this is all getting.
I feel like if, like, I'm sure there are Trump supporters who have, you know, a higher IQ. Like, they're actually smart, educated mm-hmm. individuals. And people have different reasons. If you really think about it, there are some people who agree with some of Trump's, mm-hmm. I guess, like, ideas and, like, his campaign. But I'm sure, like, the majority of those that want to vote for him and that may support him maybe aren't as – this is a huge generalization, so if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, like, maybe they're just not as smart, and so the best way to appeal
well,
to
no,
them –
Well, no. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's the same thing. Everybody just loves a character. They love, like – they don't really care a lot of times what your policies are. Like, I don't think anyone can really – a majority of the people probably can't tell you exactly what his policies are and like exactly what he's going to be doing when he's in office. But like, you just have to be really good at rallying people up. And I feel like Obama did the same thing when he went into office. I feel like a majority of those people who voted for him didn't really know his policies as well, but just knew, just like saw him as a symbol.
A sign of hope.
And yeah. I feel like Trump is the same thing. People don't really care about the details. They just see him as like a sign of hope or a symbol of what they want to see. And they've like put him up as like a symbol of like, okay, this is the guy that's gonna fix everything. And it's almost exactly what happened when Obama went in office.
It also helps him.
I have no love for any of them, but still.
I know, but I'm gonna say like it also helps him that like during Joe Biden's presidency, like, mm-hmm. you know, the American economy really suffered. Like a lot of things I guess he was trying to fix just didn't go so well.
No, the economy bounced back for the most part in America.
Kind of, yeah, but there's still a lot of like, is it crises? Like multiple crises? I don't know. I just feel like that, like, he's not really that favored anymore.
I think he's not favored mainly because of optics or like how he speaks, and like they don't see him as a leader. They don't see him as a strong leader. And I feel like seeing someone as a strong leader plays a big part in, like, even if, let's say he had the best policies, he was fixing everything. Or not everything, but he was fixing a lot of things and like actually had some great policies that benefited everyone. Still, if you don't sound like a leader and you don't look like a leader, that can hinder your performance and like can kind of drown out your real message.
Yeah. And I think like at the end of the day, Trump just really, I guess, I don't want to say he's mastered it, but mm-hmm. he's a businessman. And so he knows how to appeal to, like,
it's a charisma, you know? That's what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has that charisma. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how old he is, even though, like, in my opinion, they both should retire.
Yeah.
But he still somehow, like, has that charisma within
him. He's socially very smart.
Yeah.
I believe so.
No, he's not stupid. Trump is not stupid. Mm-hmm. He's definitely not. Is he unhinged? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he has a level of...
Mm-hmm. You know what the craziest part was? We can talk about this, but like, I don't even know we could say the word on YouTube, but when someone tried to unalive him?
Yeah.
he knows how to,
how
to take charge of a moment, or like how to capitalize on a moment, because the moment he was pew-pewed at, I think we said shot here, the moment he was shot at and he went down and the threat, I don't even think he knew the threat was neutralized at that point, he immediately tried to get up and started fist pumping in the air. And there's that famous photo that came out with him fist pumping in the air with the American flag behind him.
Yeah.
And like the Secret Service trying to take him away.
Yeah.
Like he knows how to capitalize on a moment.
Of course.
Right?
I'm sure he was about to be like, yes, this is my
chance.
Yeah,
and that shows him like he'll do anything for the moment because he realizes how much like social capital there is mm-hmm. in moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to like clip that moment, you know, just really make it his own.
Yeah, because he's not new to, like, the whole world of media either. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been, you know, in the tabloids and all that kind of stuff in mm-hmm. the past. So
he had a very positive, like, reputation.
He did.
Even, like, in the early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
He never really had a negative perception of him because everyone knew of him from The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And sure, like, everybody thought he was kind of playing up a character in The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Like, from how harsh he was, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, he wasn't super unlikable. But then when you find out, like, when you dig into his past and you find out, like, he has he's been very racist with his, how he's dealt with, like, renting to, like, low or to colored people or people of color in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what he did with those four kids. The kids, there's that show.
When They See Us?
When They See Us.
The Brooklyn Five or something Five.
Central Park Five?
Yeah.
Yeah, them. Like how he like took out a whole full page paper, basically telling to like put them in jail or lock them up or something like that.
Yeah.
Even though there's already evidence like against saying like, not saying, but proving that they're innocent. And I don't know, I didn't watch the documentary. I still can't watch that documentary because
why?
I feel like I'm gonna get too emotional. I mentioned that before.
It's so good.
I read the papers, it's all good, but
you're lost, you're missing out.
Yeah, but those things kind of lit, you know, brushed under. But a lot of people are like that where they have like a very dirty past. His is just, he has a very big closet for sure.
Yeah, as do most people that are kind of on top, whether it's in politics or mm-hmm. Hollywood. So,
yeah, and I don't know, when I heard that Biden dropped out, I was like, I guess you basically just gave him the win there at that point, right?
We'll see.
What?
We'll see.
You really think
he's gonna win?
Yeah,
like, first class to presidency.
I like. I think it's such a mess on the Democratic side.
Yeah.
That the youth vote is just not there anymore.
Yeah.
They're so like,
I don't know. I really
there's no party that's on our side, whether it be Democrats or the Republicans.
But I feel like they'll last minute decide to like vote for the lesser of the evil between the two.
I don't think so, because in Canada it doesn't work that way. Look at the voter turnout in Canada.
Canada's different.
Nobody like we have Doug politics. Ford here, who nobody likes.
Yeah.
Yet he continues to win because the only people going out to vote are the people who support that him. Their party. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the vote last time was like 35% of people who went out to vote. The youth are just not motivated to vote because they're not given any reason to. They're not given any motivation to vote. Like, there's no one speaking to them, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And there are certain things that are very important to the youth that they just are being brushed over.
Yeah.
And a lot of voters are, like, one-issue voters. So, okay. Do you know what that means?
Where, like, as long as
there's only one issue matters to them, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like the youth at this point, they have multiple issues, because whether it be housing, like affordability and just general products and also the thing that's going on in Palestine, again, like I mentioned, mm-hmm. I feel like that's a global issue, right? With a lot of youth. A lot of youth are kind of focusing on that because it's all over social media, and where are all the youth? They're on social media, right?
That's the point that I was going to make too, is that like maybe another reason that the youth are not as engaged is because, you know, a lot of, especially for Canadian politics, a lot of it takes place on Canadian cable network, like the channels there, or radio that like we all know nobody listens to the radio unless you're like middle-aged boomer level, like maybe that's another generalization, but like I personally don't even listen to the radio.
Yeah, and that goes back to that thing that you mentioned earlier where you think that people are just like dumb or uninformed, whatever. Sorry, dumb. It's not that. It's just that people are uninformed. So that's why
you're not using the platforms that these things are being broadcast.
Canadians aren't
on.
Doing the same thing. I
agree.
It's like in places like in Western countries where things are so easy and available to us, we're less likely to focus on the politics of things, right?
Yeah.
Because overall or generally, people think that, you know, things are just going to be all right. Like we're already in a first world country. How bad can it really get? Right?
Yeah.
And as long as you're not on the fringes of society, and that can mean different things, like whether you're not part of like a certain community that's
on either extremes of the spectrum,
or that's just underfunded, or like if you're in poverty, then you know politics really does matter to you, because it could be the difference if you're in a conservative, if you have a conservative government, it could be that you're not going to get any more benefits, right? Or if you're
on the more wealthier side.
On the wealthier side, like if you have liberals, you might be taxed more. So those people who are more on the fringes will be more, have more of an incentive to pay attention. But for us, we're more middle class. It doesn't really affect our day-to-day lives for the most part. We have no reason to pay attention to the details. So how do you reach those people? That's the issue, right?
Yeah.
And the way you reach those people is by creating symbols and creating like, you know, figures that people can follow, like role models. And I feel like in America, like going back to Trump, he's done that very well. That's like who can you look at on the Democratic side right now that you can see as like a symbol of hope
right now? Nobody. But I'm telling you,
and we're not even American.
I know.
Yeah, so I feel like because we see it all, I feel like we can kind of get into their mindset and like give some type of, have some idea of how they might be thinking about all of this.
Maybe.
But maybe we don't. You know, if you're in America, let us know what you're thinking of.
I don't know. I still think like Kamala Harris's angle will be to try and appease to the younger audience.
We can find out, but
yeah,
she doesn't really have the cleanest past either. So
she doesn't. You're right. Mm-hmm. But again, it could like, if I was her campaign manager, I'd tell her to work on the youth. Do what you got to do to get the youth vote.
Nah, the only way she's going to get the youth vote is by coming out pro-Palestinian.
Listen, You never know. If that was the case, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure people would side-eye her and be like, really? Mm-hmm. We don't believe you, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Palestine, recently there was a ruling that came out by the ICJ, basically saying everything that we already knew, saying, you know, the West Bank settlements are illegal and they must come take all their forces. The is not real government must take all their forces out of there. I can actually write down exact. I can tell you exactly what the saying was. Let me see what it says here. Yeah. I found it.
You did?
Oh my God, guys! No, the water did nothing. I'm telling you, I'm like
on your face or something.
Drenched in sweat right now. I don't even know if it's showing up on the video. I guess we'll find out after this. I don't even know if I'm gonna be in focus. But speaking of, what I was just.
Looking up.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the ICJ ruling, so I actually brought up the list now. So what did the ICJ say? Mm-hmm. So they said, Israel's ongoing presence in the occupied Palestinian territories is illegal. We already knew that. Israel must end its presence in the occupied Palestinian territories. Israel should immediately cease settlement expansion and evacuate all settlers, which they shouldn't have been doing already. They are required to make reparations. That was a big thing. Big reparations. They have to pay these guys back, or at least
what?
Yeah, the international community and organizations have a duty not to recognize the Israeli presence in the territories as legal and to avoid supporting its maintenance. The United Nations should consider what actions are necessary to end the Israeli presence in the territories. So, what does this mean? Technically, like these are all things we already knew. And technically, nothing can be done from this yet.
I was just going to say, like, is anything...
So this doesn't really change anything, like, at now, at least, right? Which is unfortunate for the people in Gaza because they are still going through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's... I think recently there was a video I saw where they destroyed all of the UNWRA's facilities, or all the UN's facilities in general, just destroyed them. Like, and that didn't even get that much attention, right? And that's why I think, actually, this whole dropout of Biden, whatever... and everything else going on in politics and shooting, all that, I feel like all that is just distraction from what's going on. I know we mentioned that before, and it's very conspiratorial. It might be a conspiracy, whatever, but I feel like there's some truth to that, because all of this ruling came out at the same time that the shooting happened and Biden dropping out and all of that. So it kind of drowned out the news, and it wasn't going to get that much attention already. But now it's gotten almost little to no attention. Of course, these people are reporting on it, but you rarely see it on the news, right?
Yeah.
And, but it does, it's said that this might be like a legal setback for Israel. So like they might, now it'll allow, I think the ICC, which is another court. I don't even know how it all works. Mm-hmm. It's just something, said something about the ICC can make a bigger case about like, prosecuting more of the leaders. I know, remember there was that whole thing that came out like a couple months ago, maybe it was a month ago, where they like put out a warrants for like certain officials in the Israeli government.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, but like they're not, who's enforcing it? Who's enforcing any of this?
Technically it has no teeth.
Yeah.
Until, and even if they are all found to be guilty, like it's all recommendations,
yeah,
to kind of do something about it. It just makes it less, it makes it harder for other governments to justify it, because now it's like legal presence for showing like, hey, this is wrong and like it is legal. So you can't say that they have the right to defend themselves. We are telling you that this is illegal. They must pull out and stop doing all of this.
Right.
You know, and inshallah, like at least the people in the settlements will have some of the pressure taken off of them, because I believe they said that there are 27,000 prisoners.
Oh my God.
Currently, or hostages.
Yeah.
In the Israel jails or prisons, right? Mm-hmm. And these are just people who are taken off the streets for doing nothing, essentially, right?
Just the mere fact that they're Palestinian.
Yeah. Even if they look in the wrong direction, they could be found guilty, or they put in jail, essentially. Or not even found guilty, because a lot of them are not even prosecuted. Just held in there for months.
Yeah.
And you're seeing these videos of these guys coming out months later, looking like completely different people. They're mentally, they are not even there anymore. They are terrified to go back and like they don't even believe that they're out. They believe that like this is all a setup, yeah. and they're going to be thrown back in. I think we saw that. There was, I don't know if you saw the video. It was this guy who was like used to be like a bodybuilder, and he came out like completely frail and did not have a single muscle left on his body, and he was only in there for like 3 months. Yeah. Because they're torturing these people. Because they're not giving them any food. They're torturing them all the time. It's horrible what they're doing to these people. And it's not getting... Well, it could get attention, but they just don't care.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, we're almost about to come up on a year of this going on.
Yeah.
Like what is it now? July? It's almost end of July. So you have August, September, October. 3 more months and it's going to be a full year.
It's insane.
And like little has changed. A lot of legal talk... But no real action, yeah. no real let up. The U.S. like they said, oh, we're gonna stop sending bombs, and then like they start sending them back again. They're like, oh, we're not sending the $2,000 ones. We're sending the 500-pound ones.
Ooh.
Ooh, like that's gonna make a big difference. It's gonna kill hundreds of people.
Stupid.
Or sorry, unalive hundreds of people. I don't know if I can say that word. There's so much I don't know what you say on YouTube. Yeah,
it's at fine. This point. We can beep it out if it's really that bad. But.
Yeah, but that's the latest news on what's going on there. Okay, guys, before we finish the podcast, we're gonna answer some questions. Oh shoot, my nose.
I see one for you, actually. Bless you.
Woo.
A question for you.
Oh, what you got?
This one is from. And so, or 2Cup1. Mm-hmm. Amir, what do you use for editing, for the editing of the video, please?
Premiere Pro.
There we go.
but it honestly, just use DaVinci. It's free for like, you know, your average editing stuff you need. If you don't have any experience with any editing software, just start with DaVinci because then like you can at least start learning from that. Instead of doing what I did, where I learned with Premiere Pro and I tried to go into DaVinci, but because I was so used to Premiere Pro, it was taking me longer to get used to DaVinci and I just went back to Premiere Pro, even though Premiere Pro costs money every month. But, you know, inshallah, like when I have more time and more freedom, I might try and go back to DaVinci because I hear that it's more superior in that, like, it doesn't cost as much. That for sure.
Okay, this is a comment from Fatima Sani. Dambada. Hopefully I said your last name right. I'm sorry if I didn't. She wrote, I wanted to cry. And I also laughed a little bit because this is the video of you saying that you got married. But it says, mm-hmm. Dear Sara with the beautiful heart.
Is on the latest episode?
Yeah. Dear Sara with the beautiful heart. Always there, Sara. May Allah bless your heart and grant you a love so precious. Ameen. Congratulations, Amir. But I was like, that is so nice. Like, you didn't even have to do all that because this was Amir. Like, this is
shine the spotlight on Amir for a second. Okay?
I know, but it was just like it caught me off guard. I was like, oh, that's so nice. I should actually respond to her. But yeah, it was a very nice message. Thank you so much, Ameen, to your dua.
Yeah, thank you for looking out for Sarah. You know, we're all looking out for her. Inshallah, a year from now we'll have another. Maybe not even a year from now. Actually, I would say a year from now.
Yeah, let's not have false hope here, okay?
We'll have another announcement video.
By the way, guys, I mean, we kind of knew this was going to happen, but thank you for all of the love and the kind words for Amir. I'll thank you guys on his behalf. On literally every platform that we posted, the clip or the actual full episode, you guys have sent a lot of really kind messages. So thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it.
Oh yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you. Sorry. I didn't realize what you're saying. I was reading this thing. Okay.
I was thinking on your behalf. It's okay.
Was there no AC at the venue? Okay. So when we were talking about the heat, like Dallas, the one thing that Dallas does have going for them is that they do have remedies for the heat. They do have AC. They have like industrial sized fans for like cooling down houses. I remember when we had the brunch the next day.
Yeah.
It was literally like this giant fan just cooling down the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually worked. Like it was pretty cool in the house and had no issues with like sweating, whatever. Especially with like 50 or 60 people in the house at once. It was about that
more
much,
than
right?
That.
Yeah, it was probably more than that, honestly.
70, 80.
Yeah. So they definitely have remedies. But the moment you step outside, that means nothing. Because 2 minutes, 5 minutes in that sun and you're done. 2 minutes in that sun, you're done.
It was hot.
It was really hot.
Okay, there's one more comment that I'll call out. Because this one it put me in my feels. I was like, no, 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 let's not have that mentality. There's no name. It's just 123F89. This person said, and this is actually on a kind of older episode, when do you give up on marriage, episode 124. This comment says, I'm in a point where I'm really sad because I am in my 40s and I'm not married and I never thought I would be here. Listen, honey, I don't know if you're a guy or a girl. Can't tell. But never lose hope. Also, I remember watching this in... I can't remember what the series was called, but Omar Suleiman had a series during Ramadan, and like all the girlies were losing their minds because he was telling them that marriage is like, you know, a part of your risk.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it might not be written for you in this life, but you shouldn't allow yourself to think negative thoughts because you never know. Like, you don't know what your future holds, right? And it does, just because you don't find your soulmate at 25, for example, you could find them in your 40s, in your 50s, even in your 60s. And if you end up finding them in this life, inshallah, he'll be able to reunite with them again in Jannah. And then it's the everlasting in the hereafter, right? So isn't that the best case scenario? Like this life? It's like if you find them, it's like, okay, cool. But this life is short compared to, you know, the life in the hereafter. Mm-hmm. So don't lose hope and continue making your dua to Allah if that's what you are looking for. It could be anything, but like just continue to...
What would you tell a person if there if there's a lady, if there's a woman in her 40s, a Muslim woman in her 40s, what would you tell her? Like, where would you tell her to go? Like, how would she actively or proactively go searching for a husband? Because I'm trying to think, like, at that point, like...
At that point, what?
You know, you gotta like be like, yo, I'm going back home. Depends on who you're where you're from. Like,
but going back home isn't necessarily like a bad thing or a last resort or anything like that. I would say,
do you think that if you're in your 40s and you really just want to be married, like, you should give up on the idea of like a love marriage?
Not necessarily.
How about if the person's like really on his deen, but you don't, let's say you don't necessarily like see yourself falling in love with him?
I think it depends. What's your purpose of getting married? Is it to like have children? Is it to elevate
your... Well, I feel like if you're in your 40s, I don't know if that would be...
People have kids in their 40s. Yeah. Look at Kourtney Kardashian. Isn't she like 45 and she just had a kid?
Is she?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's not 45. But like women definitely give birth in their 40s.
Oh, okay. I don't know women's anatomy. So I always assume that like once you're 40... It's kind of like...
It's once you hit menopause that you... Like, obviously, when you're in your 40s, you're not as fertile as you are in your 20s and 30s, for sure, yes. But with modern technology, there's, like, IVF and surrogacy. There's different options. That being said, if someone's in their 40s and they're looking for to get married, they... I don't know. I wish I could tell you. Maybe it's just from, like... finding a mutual, like finding someone that can suggest someone for you. Maybe going to like your local mosque, and because I know a lot of mosques, especially in the GTA, have started to do, I don't know if they want to consider it like matchmaking services, but they're definitely a lot of, not just the GTA, but a lot of mosques now are like seeing this issue where young people are delaying getting married because they struggle to find the right person for them. And so the imam or like someone in the community is taking it upon themselves to like basically bridge that like gap and like try to introduce people based on their criteria. Because
the avenues, I feel like the avenues are very slim specifically and uniquely to like the Muslim community versus other communities. Because outside of the Muslim community, like there is almost normal now to be like in your late 30s, even early 40s and just being like, okay, I'm ready to settle down. And get married, right?
Yeah.
It's because a lot of people are choosing also not to have kids now. So they don't really worry about the whole timeline thing.
Yeah. And like they also, independence is highly encouraged and celebrated. And so a lot of them will have this mentality of like, let me live my life. Let me do what I want to do first before I settle down.
Yeah. And actually there are a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I've starting to see this like idea of like, people, of course, again, outside of the Muslim community who are like, you know, I'm cool with having a kid with someone and just like being me and the kid. Like, I'm not looking for a husband. I just want to have a kid.
People in the Muslim community have
not it? In the outside of the Muslim community.
Oh, yeah, because I think sometimes people may give up on the idea of a romantic love. Mm-hmm. And so for them, having a child is like that unconditional love that'll still make them feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
In a different way.
You know, but, you know, inshallah, you know, I'm just trying to, I feel for you. That's why I'm asking, like, okay, how can we, what can we brainstorm? What can we think of that would help someone at that age look for a partner? Like, someone at least good for them, right? You like,
I genuinely think, like, word of mouth, like, if you have other married friends that are around your age that, like, maybe your friend's husband.
Would you say they have to be more aggressive, though? With if they really do want this, like, they have to be, like, it almost has to be as aggressive as me looking for an apartment right now.
Is this the assumption that the person is a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna be real. Like, I know this might sound sexist, right? But I feel like for men, it's a lot easier.
Of course, it is.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm just assuming that it's a woman, because I don't think a man would leave a comment like that in general, like asking something like that.
There are men who are single in their 30s, 40s, 50s even.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's reason is different, right? Like, it depends. Like, is this a person who has actively tried to look and, like, didn't find one? Or is it someone who never leaves their house but then expects their spouse to just fall from the sky? Like, you know what I mean? You have to...
You have to be as, if you've listened to this whole podcast, be as aggressive in searching for a partner as I am searching for a condo.
If you're going to take one thing from this episode, take Amir's advice in that regard. But yeah, like, I think when you feel like, okay, you know what, I'm ready now, like, I'm going to actively search or whatever. And I can't even tell you how to do that. Like, I can't even, it just depends on what your avenue is, right? Like, obviously, if you don't want some, like, I would say maybe start by going to, I think we've talked about like the third place?
Third places, yeah.
Third place, like go somewhere where maybe you want someone that engages in those habits. So, oh my God.
You keep
Oh, I know. Sorry.
Damn, Mike.
I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, like, you know, if you want someone who maybe is more active in the gym, then you're going to look for... someone in the gym. Or if you want someone who's more like a creative, maybe you would look at like those poetry night thingies, or someone who's into comedy, you're gonna go to a comedy night or something like that. I don't know. Or just ask your friends to set you up.
Yeah Some of them are better than others.
Yeah I'm just kidding.
Oh, good. And someone actually asked, I don't know if I mentioned this, but they asked, are you guys going to be doing a civil marriage where basically you get like legally married? And we actually did that beforehand.
Yeah.
Like right before the nikah, the day before. Yeah, the day before, we went to the courthouse. And there was actually, we got really lucky. So we just thought, like, you go up to the place and, you know, you tell them you want to get married. You sign all this paperwork. And there's, like, a judge that's going to do it for you. And I thought it was going to be, like, in his office or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was a long weekend, right? Technically, it was a holiday.
Yeah,
so no one was there.
Yeah.
Like, there was supposed to be no one there. So we had to search for, like, a place that was outside of the city that had, like, one office or a couple people open. And alhamdulillah, we were able to get in there. And we actually got dressed up for it, too. Like,
I know.
She wore a dress. I wore a suit. We got dressed up. We got in there. They got signed the papers. They gave us, like, this nice sheet showing that we were legally married. But the issue was, like, you do all that paperwork, you still need a judge to, like, marry you guys. And they actually do, like, the whole ceremony. Not ceremony, but they have, like, their thing, like, you know.
The officiator,
all that stuff.
Or is it officiant?
Officiant? I can't remember.
Whatever. You guys know what I mean.
That thing. But there was no judge in the building. Well, we thought there was no judge.
Yeah.
And we heard, you know, from, like, someone talking. Just someone was listening, and we heard that there's like a judge on the third floor. So we like sent a couple people to go and check on that. And I think the office wasn't being very helpful, and we couldn't get him. They're like, oh, he's outside doing someone else's at that point. So we were just, you know, almost giving up at that point. And we were walking out, and we saw where the judge actually was, and he was outside already doing someone else's marriage. So we were just like nonchalantly standing in the main area.
Not even
and
waiting.
As he's
for
like
him.
As he's like walking past us, we like booked it towards him. We're like, hey sir, I know you're like doing their thing, but can you like marry us?
What did he say?
And he's like, okay, just give me 1 second. Let me go and sign their paperwork and he'll do it. And he did it for us. So we got really lucky.
Is he the guy that's in the photos?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, who is this?
We got really lucky with him doing it for us because he could have said no. He wasn't supposed to do it that day. Like, he was just doing those other people a favor, I believe. Like, I think he already knew them.
Mm.
And we just got really lucky that he's there. And now we don't have to worry about the whole, like, having to go back and get it legally done, whether it's here or there.
Yeah.
It's done. So, yeah. So, you know, if you want to get legally married, make sure not to do it on a long weekend. Yeah.
if you want to have issues. I feel like for you, it's because that wasn't a long weekend for us. Like, ours was Canada mm-hmm. Day, and obviously in the States, it's the 4th of July. So, I didn't even think of that.
Mm. But, you know, ultimately, it all worked out. Alhamdulillah. Again, I'm still working on getting her over here.
Yeah.
It's been a journey, as you heard from the beginning of the podcast. But just, you know, make dua for me so I can find a place. He's, you know, a few more prospects out there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he'll find out next week if I got it or not.
And then hopefully when Hanan finally makes it to Canada.
Yeah.
We'll have a special episode with her. On
make
it.
An appearance. If she wants to come on, you know.
I think she'll be down. Yeah. We'll see. But how's the vlog coming along? Your status update.
It's coming. It's coming. Okay.
There's a lot of footage,
but also it's just time, man.
I know.
I wish there was more hours in the day. I totally wish there was more hours in the day, but it's coming, guys. Don't worry about it, okay? But until then, make sure to subscribe to the channel.
Get us to 10K, guys. We're actually getting closer and closer.
Yeah, you know, that episode really did help, the last one.
It did.
People really like to know when you're getting married. Yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely need more topics like that.
I need to get married to boost our views a little bit.
But for the latest info, make sure to subscribe. Uh-huh. Right, and follow us on all our platforms, Cousin Connection Pod. But until then, what? You want to say more?
I was going to say, like, maybe we should do a Q&A next week. You know what? We'll do a Q&A. Yeah. Ask us whatever you want. Go to our YouTube channel and comment on this episode. And that's where we'll get the questions. Normally, we would do it in the DMs on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But this time, we're going to do it exclusively for those of you that listen to or watch the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Create an account on YouTube if you don't already have one and you're listening to this on the audio. Leave us a comment with your question.
Yeah.
If you're absolutely shy and you're like, I don't want you to know my identity, then you can do that on YouTube. But like, you can DM us. Fine. DM us on Instagram. But YouTube is where we'll be looking.
Yeah. And sorry for all the dumb politic takes, guys. You know, we try every once in a while, okay? But don't hurt us with questions in the comments about that stuff too.
Yeah, sorry in advance if we offended anyone that's American or Canadian, but we're just as ignorant. Okay.
We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Zaxby's just out Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back. With garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.